This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilma wa arinal haqqo haqqan wa rzuqna ittiba'ahu wa arinal batila batilan wa rzuqna ijtinabahu wa adkhilna bi rahmatika fi 'ibadika as-salihin. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Ahlan wa sahlan everybody to our lecture tonight about Sha'ban, a gateway to Ramadan. The month of Sha'ban, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ What is Sha'ban? What will make you understand what Sha'ban is? And I wanted to begin with a story. And I'm just curious, how many of you here have ever ran a marathon? Show of hands. Walking to the supermarket is not a marathon. Okay, like an actual marathon. Nobody? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. طيب, we need... طيب. يعني... No, we need kilometers here. No meters. You've ran a marathon? How many kilometers? Allah, Allah, khalas, then you will understand, mashallah. 42 kilometers. Tabarakallah. SubhanAllah, every year, they usually have a marathon for Palestine, like a run for Palestine. Anybody do that last summer? Nobody here? So, I actually, last year in the summer, I decided I'm going to do it. This was like 2 months before. And طبعاً for those who, the reason why I'm asking is because I want to see how people understand what it means to run a marathon. Running a marathon, you can't just show up on the day and be like, yalla, bismillah, roll up your sleeves. You will probably end up in the hospital. I'm not exaggerating, you will probably end up in the hospital. I knew what it takes, يعني, because I've done one a long time ago. And you need a lot of preparation. يعني, you need to be preparing maybe, we can say weeks, months, depending on how long the marathon is, صح? Like, what's the longest you've ever prepared for a run? Regular runner. Mm. But if you're rusty, you would probably need 2-3 months, صح? SubhanAllah, I told myself, I'm going to run, I'm going to do the, I think they had 5 kilometers and maybe like 10 or 15. So I was like, I'll do the lesser one, but I'm going to do it, inshallah. I'm going to prepare. And I said, a week passed by, inshallah, inshallah. I got busy. I'll prepare, inshallah. Another week passed by until literally it came the week before. And I was like, khalas, I'll just run every day. I ended up running just one day before. One day from that week. And I'm like, okay, khalas, better than nothing. Okay. So I show up at the day of the marathon. It's a run, yeah. It's not a marathon. It's a run, yeah. But it's a decent distance, right? Everyone's excited. I'm like, bismillah. And so we're running, and literally, right before the first kilometer, I'm like out of breath. I feel like I'm about to vomit. You get conscious, confused. dizzy, right? It was one of those really difficult moments. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to stop. But then I convinced myself to keep going, you know, until I got to the end. And these kids are running by me, and these young, you know, I started good, and then I'm like falling behind, and all these people are going ahead of me. And that feeling when you see people go ahead of you, you know, there's if you ever went through that feeling, it's a very painful, humiliating, you feel like you're powerless. People are passing by you, they look at you, you're puffing and huffing and puffing. SubhanAllah, for me, it was alhamdulillah, I made it. My standards were high, you know, top 10 or something. Then the standard was just make it. You know, then I was like, just don't stop, just keep going. Alhamdulillah, I made it alive. It was very painful. Lakin, I learned a big lesson. And SubhanAllah, this is, I wanted to mention this story. Because a lot of us, when it comes to Ramadan, we treat it like the way, you know, I treated that marathon, right? We go to the month of Ramadan and we're like, yalla, bismillah, okay? But we're not ready for it. We didn't prepare for it. Wait a second, are you supposed to prepare for Ramadan? Yes, we are supposed to prepare for Ramadan, yeah? Just like exactly we're supposed to prepare for a marathon, because at the end of the marathon, you want to reach the high spot, right? And at the end of Ramadan, what do you want to do? You want to reach the high spot. You want to get out of Ramadan as a new person, as a better person, as a person who has achieved, you know, thousands and thousands and maybe millions of hasanat. Because that is the month. This is the best month. And طبعا, before we understand the importance of preparing for it, we need to understand the greatness of this month, right? And so this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has chosen, you know, specific times. Like he favored Laylatul Qadr. He favored this month, the month of Ramadan, out of all the months, right? It's a month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives and He takes the most people out of the hellfire, right? And so all these things about Ramadan, the month that the Quran came down, the month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the most people out of Jahannam and enters people into Jannah, right? And As-Siyam, the main act of worship that happens in that month, this is an act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is for me. We know other acts of worship that you get 10 hasanat, you know, you get this many hasanat. But Siyam, Allah didn't mention. He says this is something that could be multiplied. Allahu A'lam. For this great month, many of us go to it like that. Another example is think of a farmer. Imagine a farmer came to the, you know, he just bought a farm, and then he came to the month of harvesting, and he's like, yalla, bismillah, let's harvest. We'd say to him, what are you talking about, Habibi? You have to first plant the seed, you have to water, it takes time. SubhanAllah. The ulama, they say that the month of Rajab, which just passed, today is what? What's the date today? Huh? The first of Sha'ban. Today is the first of Sha'ban. Like in what came before it? Rajab. And Rajab is from, it's an important month, right? It's one of the sacred months, yeah? إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. There are 4 months that are Muharram, right? Muharram, Rajab, and Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah. So these are sacred months. They're special months, right? But there is a month that people neglect. And of course, we have the month of Ramadan. We know its place. But there's a month that comes between Ramadan and Rajab that people neglect. And that is the month of Sha'ban. And that is the month of Sha'ban. And so the ulama, they say that in Rajab, you're supposed to plant the seed. Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan. Ramadan is what number? Number in the months? Tis'a, sah? Number 9, okay? So Sha'ban, right now, we're in the 8th month. Before it comes Rajab. Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan. Okay? Memorize that. Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan. طيب. So in the month of Rajab, what we're supposed to do, think of a farmer, you got to plant the seeds, right? This is the time where you're really like, okay, you know, it's been this many months, okay, got rusty, a lot of sins, you know, fallen behind. It's time to, you know, get ready and get back, you know, get back to business. And so this is the month where you start making the intentions and start planting the seeds. What do I want to achieve in Ramadan? You know, people, now we're finishing January, but what were people doing in December and the beginning of January? They were what? Yeah, they're what? Resolutions, right? And so people who prepared for the resolutions, by the way, they're the ones who actually end up achieving them. And people who just wake up, okay, well, everybody on TikTok and on Snapchat is doing resolutions, let me just do something. Huh? Yalla, bismillah. Okay, 1 month, khalas, they're gone. And this is what happens with a lot of people in Ramadan. They enter the month of Ramadan, they're gone. You were in the first line and they're gone, khalas. Right? And then for many people, they enter Ramadan and it's a painful experience. And many people, when you say Ramadan is coming on the minbar, okay, you can see it from the faces. You know, it's like, oh my God, la hawla, oh my God, it's that month, no coffee, no this, no that. So for them, it's a negative feeling. And this is the kind of feeling I had after that run. You know, when you don't prepare for something and you put yourself through that pain, okay, it can give you a negative feeling. And that's the feeling some people have with Ramadan. It's a negative, it's a bad relationship you have with the greatest month. And you see people on the other hand, they're dying, they're waiting, they're so excited about Ramadan. It's like they're about to buy a new car or something, you know? They're about to graduate or something. Like, it's a month that they're thirsty for. How come these guys are like this and other people are like, oh my God, I don't want to see Ramadan. And they can't wait till it's over. And they're counting the days. Like, they're on the calendar, they're like, yalla, yalla. Where's Eid? Right? And then Eid comes, and really, it's like, it's Eid, yo, he has a thawb jadid, and his qalb is marid, you know, as they say. You know, it's Eid, he doesn't really have anything to celebrate, he didn't really achieve much. You know, he gets a new clothes, but he's the same. His heart is still sick, he didn't become a better person, he didn't increase in taqwa. Why? A lot of these things happen because we don't prepare for Ramadan, right? And so, you know, maybe some people would have seen this title, preparation for Ramadan, I know Ramadan, I don't need to come. Lakin, I promise you, this is one of the most important lectures, inshallah, that you'll attend. Because in this lecture, you will see the importance of preparing for Ramadan. We've got 30 days, maybe 29, we've got 30 days, inshallah. And in this month, inshallah, if you take care of it, if you prepare, if you put the effort, you will have the best Ramadan in your life, bi'idhnillah. And this is the time to plant that seed and to make that intention. That inshallah, this month of Ramadan, I'm going to be a new person. Because Ramadan is a month for us to become better people. It's a month, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it in a way where it's easy for you to become a better person. It's easy for you to give up bad habits. It's easy for you to build new habits. Okay? And so this is a golden opportunity. Forget New Year's, January. This is the perfect time. Okay, there is no other time of the year. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, the shayateen are chained and everything. The red carpet is there for us, but many people don't want to walk on the carpet. They're like, khalas, I'll go somewhere else. Subhanallah. And so Sha'ban is that month, is that amazing month, okay, where we can prepare so we can have a great Ramadan. And so in Sha'ban, now you want to water the seeds. You've planted the seeds in Rajab. Yani we just finished Rajab. We can still make those intentions. You know, this month, this Ramadan, this year, I want to have the best Ramadan. I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all my sins. I want to have a relationship with the Quran. I want to enjoy Qiyam al-Layl. I want to give a lot of sadaqah. I want. I want to come out having given up this bad habit I have. I want to come out. This is the time to plant those intentions right now. Does making intentions cost you any money or time? It doesn't really. Right now, as we're speaking, you can make those intentions, subhanAllah. But this is the month to do that. And then now you need to water your seeds. If you don't water your seeds, if you made intentions in Rajab, okay, let's assume we're in Rajab, okay, and you don't water your seed, is it going to grow in the month of harvesting, which is Ramadan? It's not going to grow. And so in Rajab, you're supposed to plant your seeds. In Sha'ban, you're supposed to water them and take care of them. And how do you do that? You start getting ready. So I want to have a relationship with the Quran and I want to enjoy the Quran Ramadan. I'm going to start reading slowly in Sha'ban, right? I want to be from the mutasaddiqeen. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be the most generous in Ramadan. Does it make sense logically that someone who never gives at all in Ramadan is going to become a very generous person? It really doesn't make sense. A person who prepares themselves slowly, slowly, slowly. Does it make sense that a person will enjoy Qiyam al-Layl in Ramadan and he's never done it the whole year? It doesn't make sense, right? He's going to force himself, right? And it's painful for him, right? Versus someone who's prepared and practiced in Sha'ban, he's watered his seeds, then on the month of Ramadan, he will enjoy that. And he will tell, and he will wish that the imam read more. Haven't you noticed there's some people that say, ya Sheikh, it's too long. You know, it's like 6 pages. It's too long, Sheikh. You know, when I was in Riyadh, there's some masajid that like 4 pages, khalas. It's too much for them. I'm like, shuhada. They take the days off and it's like the Isha is late and some people just can't handle more than 4 pages, right? And then there's people who come and they attend, right? And they're used to Qiyam al-Layl in Sha'ban. And so they say, ya Sheikh, make it longer. I wish it could be longer. You know, they're not like waiting and like trying to get out of, you know, as soon as the Imam says, Assalamu alaikum, they're gone. SubhanAllah, this goes back to preparation for that month, right? And it's easy now to say, yes, you know, Ramadan, I want to be forgiven. I want to get this many deeds, right? If I was to ask you, who here would like to be from those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make Jahannam haram for them? You raise your hand, okay? And then say, how many of you are willing to do the work? Most of us will raise their hand. But when it comes down to doing the work, most of us will not do the work. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah At-Tawbah about the hypocrites. Surah At-Tawbah is one of those surahs, it's the only surah in the Quran that doesn't have basmala. And it's the surah that is they call Al-Fadiha, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed the hypocrites. And in one of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the hypocrites when they had to go to the Battle of Tabuk. The Battle of Tabuk, it didn't actually take place, but it was going to be one of the most difficult battles for the Muslims. They were about to face one of the superpowers, right? The Byzantine Empire. And it was a difficult time. And it was a hot summer, right? And so, a lot of the hypocrites start coming with a'dhar and excuses, right? You know, we have family, we have kids, we have jobs, we have this, we have that. And they start making excuses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَرَادُوا الْخُرُوجَ لَأَعَدُّوا لَهُ عُدَّةً. Had they really wanted to go for battle, they would have prepared for it. But because they didn't want to go to battle aslan, because they came to the Prophet saying, we want to go, we want to support, okay? But in reality, in their hearts, they didn't want to. They just wanted an excuse and they didn't want to really go and do the work. And so Allah exposed them and says, وَلَوْ أَرَادُوا الْخُرُوجَ لَأَعَدُّوا لَهَا عُدَّةً. Had they wanted to go out and assist in the battle and fight for Islam, okay, then they would have prepared for it. Because to go to battle, you have to prepare. You can't just be like, yalla, bismillah, let's go, guys. If someone wants to climb Mount Everest, do they just go, yalla, bismillah? They're preparing for months, right? To battle, you're preparing for months, right? And so Allah says they didn't prepare aslan. So they didn't really want to go. Because, you know, someone who's preparing and then something emergency comes up, you know, some terminal illness, at least they've prepared. And Allah knows their intention. And their preparation is a proof of their niyyah. And their lack of preparation is a proof of that their niyyah was not to go out. So Allah says, وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ. Actually, Allah did not want them to go because they actually didn't want to go. And because they didn't want to go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to stay behind. And Allah said, you stay there, مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ. وَقِيلَ قُعُدُوا مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ. يعني you stay behind with the boys and the girls, يعني with the boys and the women. And this is a humiliation for them, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, had they come out with you, they would have been a problem. They would have been a burden for you. Subhanallah. And so one of the signs that our intention is pure, the intention we're making in Rajab and Sha'ban, is that we actually prepare for it, right? That we're actually watering those seeds in the month of Sha'ban. Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم من شهر أكثر من شعبان. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم did not fast a month as much as he would fast Sha'ban after Ramadan, right? فإنه كان يصوم شعبان كله وفي رواية كان يصوم شعبان إلا قليلا. Aisha is saying that when we used to, I would notice the Prophet sallam, after Ramadan, the month he would fast the most is the month of Sha'ban. And he says, in one riwayah he says he would fast all of it. كله يعني معظمه, يعني most of it. In Arabic, كله doesn't always mean all of it, but most of it. يعني 20 days, 25 days, 26 days. So النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم used to fast a lot of Sha'ban. And the question is why? Why would he do that? What's so special about Sha'ban? In another narration, Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, he noticed the same thing. He noticed that the Prophet is fasting a lot in Sha'ban. قال قلت يا رسول الله لم أراك أو لم أرك تصوم شهرا من الشهور ما تصوم من شعبان. Like I don't see you that you fast a lot of fasting like Sha'ban. I don't see you fasting this much in any other month like Sha'ban, right? قال ذلك شهر يغفل الناس عنه بين رجب ورمضان. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a month that many people are heedless about. This month comes between Sha'ban and Rajab. I told you that, this month comes between Ramadan and Rajab. This month comes between Ramadan and Rajab. We said that Ramadan is the ninth month and Rajab is the seventh. So what comes between them? The eighth month, which is Sha'ban.
So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a lot of people are heedless about it. Yani they don't pay attention to it, right? غافلين يعني يغفلون يعني they're heedless, they don't pay attention to it. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anbiya, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. That the time of hisab, the day of judgment, is coming closer and closer, and many people are in a ghafla. They're heedless. They're just playing and wasting time, not realizing that every day they're coming closer to that day, to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-ghafla is when you're heedless. You're not aware of what's happening. You're not aware of its importance. So he says there's a month between Ramadan and Rajab that many people are heedless about. وَهُوَ شَهْرٌ تُرْفَعُ فِيهِ الْأَعْمَالُ. It is a month where the deeds are raised. تُرْفَعُ فِيهِ الْأَعْمَالُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The deeds are raised to the Lord of the worlds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, so now this is the reason. فَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يُرْفَعَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ. So I would love that when my deeds are raised, I'm fasting. So I love that when my deeds are raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am fasting. And we see in other narrations, okay, this concept of the a'mal being raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The a'mal are raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, in three different time portions. In three different time portions. What's the first one? Anybody know? Daily. When? Daily, in the day. Fajr and Asr. So there is angels that come in that time, and they raise our a'mal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah asked, how did you find them? He said, we found them. They asked the angels. And he knows, Allah knows the answer, but it's there to be a witness. He asked them, how did you find my slaves? They say, we found them praying. Right? And that's why Salatul Fajr and Salatul Asr are such important prayers. Because the angels come and they record, and then they go tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we found Muhammad and Fatima and Abdullah and all these people, where they were praying. Right? So this is the first time that in the day. They come in the Fajr and in the Asr time, right? And the Prophet ﷺ, right? طبعاً the believer should be praying in those times, so that when it's raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are met. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are met while they are praying. What's the second time? What's the second frequency, I guess? Huh? In the week. When? Monday and Thursday. Yeah. And so Monday and Thursday, the Prophet ﷺ told us that. Also, the deeds are raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Monday and Thursday. And walidalik, that's one of the reasons why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what? He would fast those days. He would fast Monday and Thursday. The same reason, because he wanted that when the deeds are raised, that he is fasting. So here we see how great the act of fasting is, right? And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that whoever fasts a day, fi sabilillah, whoever fasts a day, fi sabilillah, then Allah will push his face away from the hellfire 70 years. Sab'ina kharifan. 70 years just for fasting one day, fi sabilillah. Subhanallah. And so, number one, they are raised in the day, Fajr and Asr. Number two, they are raised in the week, Monday and Thursday. And number three, they're raised annually when? In the month of Sha'ban. In the month of Sha'ban. And so this is the month also where the deeds are raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean that they are raised? People do actions. People do a'mal, right? Now these actions have to go up, right, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some people, their deeds don't go up. Or when they go up, they're not in the best state, right? And subhanAllah, we have the hadith, right? And this is a good time to talk about the 15th of Sha'ban, right? This always comes up about the 15th of Sha'ban. What's so special about the 15th of Sha'ban? The 15th of Sha'ban, طبعاً, this is the middle of the month, right? And we have some narrations. A lot of them are da'if. Others, some of the ulama, they said that it's hasan li ghayrihi, like it's acceptable hadith, okay? And that is the hadith where an Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu an Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, inna allaha layattali'u fi laylatin nisfi min sha'ban, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look down upon his slaves on the middle night of Sha'ban, okay? فَيَغْفِرُ لِجَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ. And he will forgive to all creation. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look down and he will forgive all of the creation. All the creation. Illa. Except for two people. Anybody know the two people? The two kinds of people? Huh? Someone who has shahna and someone who's mushrik. All the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them, except a mushrik Okay, a mushrik, someone who associates partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a mushahin. Ish yani mushahin? What's a mushahin? Someone who keeps grudges, ahsant, a mushahin, right? And this is very interesting. طبعاً this, like I said, this hadith, and it's a good time to talk about this night. طبعاً a lot of there's a lot of exaggeration from some people on this night, right? And some of the ulama, we have some narrations actually where Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu would actually spend this night praying and read the Quran and spend it in ibadah, right? Some people try to fast on this day. Some people try to like pray Qiyam al-Layl and do special adhkar, etc. We don't really have any authentic proof that the Prophet ﷺ used to do special things, okay? Lakin some of the Sahaba and Tabi'een would try to do extra deeds. Why? Because the more good deeds you do, the more likely Allah will forgive your deeds, right? So this is taqarrub to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if someone says, I want to read Quran, or I want to pray the night, or I want to fast, okay, then there's no problem. But to specify that day for fasting and not the rest of Sha'ban is not from the Sunnah. The Sunnah is to actually try to fast as much as you can in Sha'ban. The Sunnah is to try to fast the Mondays and Thursdays in Sha'ban. The Sunnah is to try to fast the Ayyam al-Bid, right? The middle days of the month in Sha'ban. That is closer to the Sunnah, okay? Some people, you know, it's all, we have this thing where we try to find the shortcut, like the 27th night of Ramadan and, you know, the middle of Sha'ban, right? But that's not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it is a special night, and we have this hadith, right? Wallahu ta'ala alam, yani it's acceptable hadith, right? It's a special night. But the place where I wanted to talk about is that Allah will forgive all the creation except a mushrik, okay, or someone who has shahna, has a grudge. Why? Why? Because we have a hadith, right? We have a hadith that عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تفتح أبواب الجنة يوم الاثنين, that the doors of Jannah are opened on Monday, ويوم الخميس, and the day of Thursday. We mentioned this a few minutes ago, right? فيغفر لكل عبد لا يشرك بالله شيئا إلا رجلا كانت إلا رجلا كانت بينه وبين أخيه شحناء. So these people will be forgiven except, okay, except a person that had grudge with another person. Okay? So فيقال, it will be said to the angels, انظروا, take a look. هذين حتى يصطلحا. So wait for these two people that have grudge between each other until they make up, right? Until they reconcile, until they figure out this grudge or this beef they have between each other. Okay? So you would say هذين, انظروا هذين حتى يصطلحا, انظروا هذين حتى يصطلحا, انظروا هذين حتى يصطلحا. Three times. يعني wait for these until they make up. Delay their forgiveness until they reconcile. Delay their forgiveness until they reconcile. Subhanallah. And so there are people that they're doing good deeds, and when the time comes for these deeds to go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are held back. Why? Because they have a grudge against someone. Right? People, they don't talk, a person doesn't talk to their brother for years. The other day, I was talking to a person, she hasn't talked to her father for 6 years. 6 years you haven't talked to your father. Subhanallah. How are your deeds being raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Right? And so one of the things that we need to do, inshallah, we're going to talk about this in Sha'ban, is that we need to make sure there is no shahna. There is no grudges. That we enter Ramadan with a clean heart. And this is one of the easiest things to do in terms of effort, but is one of the hardest things to do. One of the most difficult things to do is to forgive someone or to let go of something when they were wrong, or somebody who wronged you, right? Especially when it comes to family. Like, and we know our obligation when it comes to family, right? And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us that Allah will not forgive that person. And Allah will tell the angels, wait, until they make up. Think about how many people you cut off intentionally. Whether it's a brother in Islam, whether it's a far relative or a close relative, right? Think of how many people you've cut off. Those relationships have to be fixed, right? And so a person might fast the whole month and they have this shahna. Allahu A'lam, will their sins be forgiven? Allahu A'lam, right? And so, what are some of the things that we can do in the month of Sha'ban? And we'll conclude with this, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. What are some of the things that we can do in the month of Sha'ban? Okay, number one is fasting, obviously, right? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, you know, the reason why he fasted so many times, so many days in Sha'ban, because this is the month where the deeds are raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wishes that when they are raised, he's fasting, right? When it comes to fasting, طبعًا, number one, we have our obligatory fast that we missed from last Ramadan. So if you have any fast that you missed from last Ramadan, you need to make sure that you make them up. You need to make sure that you make them up. And if another Ramadan comes and you haven't made them up, then you are sinful. If another Ramadan comes and you don't make up those fasts, then you are sinful. You're unsinful for those days. Right? You're excused and you had 11 months to make them up. Okay? So this is like your last chance. So those are number one priority. You need to make up those days. That is going to be deen. It's going to be, right, something that you owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. So you have to make up those obligatory fasts. Number one. Number two, there's the voluntary fast, right? The voluntary fast, we said Mondays and Thursdays. And we have the from the sunnah, يعني, the middle days, al-ayyam al-bid, in the middle of the month. Those months are also from the sunnah, right? The closest to the sunnah. It's a sunnah mu'akkada to pray those days. And of course, the whole month, right? The whole month, it's a great month to fast. The only day I would say don't fast is the month, is the day right before the viewing of the moon, of the month of Ramadan, right? That day, just so you can separate between Ramadan and some ulama said there's karaha for fasting on that day, the last day. So just leave that day out. But the rest of the month, try your best to fast in that month. And remember, the person who's fasting in Sha'ban, how's his fasting going to be in Ramadan? It's going to be very enjoyable, right? It's going to be very comforting, because now he's ready. What happens for those of us who haven't fasted for 11 months, and then now we're fasting in Ramadan, right? We are like, we crash in the first day, and we have headaches and all those things that come up, right? And it makes Ramadan less enjoyable, right? But if you prepare and you fast a few days in Sha'ban, then you will enter Ramadan energetic, ready. Your body has adjusted. Your heart has adjusted, subhanAllah. And remember the reason why we fast. Why? Why do we fast? What's the illah of fasting? Na'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. This is the illah, this is the reason. So the main reason, okay, the main hikmah of fasting, Allah mentioned siyam in general here. The main reason for fasting is that in the hopes, la'allakum, in hopes that you can gain taqwa. In the hopes that you can gain what? Taqwa, God consciousness, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So imagine someone who's been fasting, you know, a few days here and there in Sha'ban, and he enters Ramadan with a high level of taqwa. How is his recitation of the Quran in Ramadan with the shayateen chain and everybody around him fasting and qiyam? How is his relationship going to be? It's going to be different. He's going to actually enjoy it. He's going to find peace. He's going to have tadabbur. You know, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَخْفَالُهَا. Many of us cannot contemplate and understand and enjoy the Qur'an because there are chains, there are locks on our hearts from the sins, right? And the key is with shaitan. And he's run off with it, subhanAllah. And we let him run off with it. And the month of Sha'ban is the month to get that key back. And the month to unlock those locks on our hearts, right? To have our heart ready for the month of Ramadan. So fasting is one of the best ways, because fasting gets you physically ready and it gets you spiritually ready. And it gets you spiritually ready, right? Number two is reading the Quran. Shahr Ramadan is the shahr of the Quran, right? And it's the best month for us to get closer to the Quran, to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the best month to build a relationship with the Quran, subhanAllah. It's interesting, in the month of Ramadan, you know, there are people who will not touch the Quran for 10 to 11 months. And in the month of Ramadan, they will do a khatma. They will read the whole Quran. It's amazing. It's a blessed month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for people to do that, right? And so imagine someone now who, you know, some of the ulama, they say that the month of Sha'ban, this month that we're in right now, they called it the month of the Qurra. Why they call it the month of the Qurra? Because this is the month where the Qurra, those who would recite the Quran in Ramadan, they start preparing. And those who used to own shops, they would close their shops in Sha'ban. You know, we're closed. Sorry, we're closed. This is the month of preparation, subhanAllah. Because they wanted to reach Ramadan in optimal form. Ready for that marathon, right? Ready to to just snatch everything they can from that month, because that month is short, right? And subhanAllah, that month makes such a big difference. A person who lived one extra year, one extra Ramadan, might go so many levels higher than someone who missed that Ramadan. And we don't know. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and there's some discussion about the authenticity of this hadith, but he would say, you know, Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, bless us in Sha'ban and give us the ability to be alive in Ramadan. Can anybody know, can anybody guarantee here if we're going to be alive in Ramadan? Like, you know what's amazing? What's amazing is that if you plant the seeds and you make the intention to water them, and you plan the intention to have the best Ramadan, guess what? If you don't make it, if I don't make it, and that's a very big possibility, if we don't make it to Ramadan, inshallah, all of that is written for you. Allahu Akbar. All of that is written for you. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, the person who makes an intention, a sincere intention, and he's not able to fulfill that, then Allah writes it down for him. Allahu Akbar. Allah will write down right now, if you made an intention to have the best Ramadan, that you had that great Ramadan. So why would someone not do that, right? Subhanallah. So the second thing is reading the Quran, reciting the Quran, getting used to reciting the Quran, you know, starting to spend some time with the Quran. So that's number two. Number three is trying to pray some qiyam, right? And so it's amazing how a lot of people will force themselves to go to Taraweeh. Yeah, and they'll push through, right? And you know, high five for that, and that's excellent. Lakin, how is their experience with qiyam al-layl? Is it enjoyable? Is it painful? Some people are like barely holding on. Some people are just waiting for al-shafa' al-witr. You know, they're just waiting for shafa' al-witr just to, because it's so painful. And some people are just enjoying it. And some people stay and pray until they do 20. Allahu Akbar. And they go at home and they'll pray more. And they'll wake up. How? Because they got their body used to it. Right? And so one of the greatest advice the ulama give about qiyam al-layl is if you are someone who does not pray qiyam al-layl at all, right? Then start with just praying that one witr before you sleep. That one witr that you pray, and a witr is a sunnah mu'akkad, right? It's an extremely recommended sunnah. And so that one rak'ah of witr, is that difficult? One rak'ah of witr is not that difficult. That rak'ah of witr, prayed for 7 days in a row before you sleep. Or just after Isha. Start with after Isha, right? Just pray that one rak'ah. And then do it right before you sleep. Another week. And then another week, wake up before Fajr. Alhamdulillah, we haven't increased the hour. It's coming. It's coming soon in Ramadan, right? But, Fajr is still a bit late. So if you're up at 6, you can still pray Qiyam. Delay that right before Fajr time, right? For another week. And you'll see now that it's easier for you to get up for Qiyam al-Layl. And then maybe increase, add 2 rak'ahs, and then 5 rak'ahs, and then 7. And then it becomes, subhanAllah, a habit. This is how you build a habit, subhanAllah. Ramadan is great for that. But the problem with Ramadan is many people go from zero to, yalla, bismillah, hour and a half. Right? And then it's so difficult for them that when Ramadan goes by, they will never go back to it. Because they went in hard, it was painful, it was not an enjoyable experience, and they didn't take the right steps. Right? They didn't take the right steps. Similar to the example, any students here? Any students? Students? University? Yalla. What happens when you cram the night before? Huh? What happens after the test? Do you remember anything? Khalas. You don't even want to look at the notes. You don't even want to see them, right? Subhanallah. But it's possible to get a good grade. It's possible to benefit, right? Get a good grade. But then you come out and it's like, your friend asked you, what did you put on the answer? It's like, I don't even know what I put. You know, you were studying for 20 hours. And subhanAllah, a lot of people are like that with Ramadan, right? Like in the one who prepares, the one who studies like 2 weeks before, very few of us do that. But those who study like weeks before a test, they're the ones who enjoy the test. They're the ones who benefit from that knowledge after the test, subhanAllah. And they'll get their grades. And this is the same thing with fasting and Qur'an and Qiyam. The next thing is, and this is one of the most important, is forgiveness. And forgiveness, two things. Number one, having a tawbah nasuha, a sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the one who has a sincere tawbah, Allah will forgive him. It's guaranteed. Allah will forgive you. Whatever you did. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Allah forgives all the sins. Subhanallah. Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. All my servants who have done the extremes. They've done everything. They didn't leave any sin unturned. They've done everything. Allah says, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ. Allah forgives all the sins. For number one, we have to ask for forgiveness and make tawbah. Number two, which is related, is we need to forgive others. Remember that shahna, that grudge we talked about? We need to let go of that. Okay? We need to forgive others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur, He tells us the story right, of al-ifk. We don't have time to go through it, but one of the key moments in that surah, Surah An-Nur, is the incident with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr, his daughter was accused of zina, Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his daughter was accused of zina. A relative of his daughter, okay, is one of the people who spread. He was a believer, but he made a mistake. He spread the rumor. And what's interesting, Abu Bakr used to give him an allowance. I want you to imagine, one of your relatives, you give them an allowance monthly. Maybe they're back home, they're not well, they need money. So you send them a monthly allowance. And then they spread rumors about your daughter. How would you feel? So naturally, Abu Bakr said, I will not spend on him. I will not send him anymore. He's upset. Right? Like, it became a big incident and everybody's talking about it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah that don't let those people who have fadl, who are doing good deeds, right? From the muhajireen. Don't let those people stop doing those good deeds. And to forgive. And then this is what I wanted to focus on. And then Allah says, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Wouldn't you love that Allah would forgive you? Abu Bakr, when he heard this, he said, Naam, yes, of course I would love that Allah would forgive me. وَاللَّهُ غَفُرْ رَحِيمٌ. The implication here, or what's being implied here, is that as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you want Allah to forgive you, then forgive others. And the more you are willing to forgive others, then Allah will forgive you. Some people will say, I don't want to forgive. They wronged me. They don't deserve it. Subhanallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to take us to account for what we did, Allah says, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَبَّ وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to take people to account for what they actually do, we wouldn't even be standing here. Subhanallah. Look how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, have some mercy on other people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. And so one of the ways for us to gain forgiveness in this month and that night of Sha'ban is that we forgive others. Remember, he said, accept one who's a mushrik and the one who has shahna, who's got beef, who's got grudge with other people, who is not willing to forgive. And like I said, it's one of the, there's no effort. Like, what do you have to do? You have to lift a box? You have to like run a marathon? You just have to really sit down and just humble yourself and just forgive that person. Pick up the phone and call that cousin that you haven't called in 10 years because of, you know, he didn't return that $100, subhanAllah. Petty things in the dunya, right? Or he said something, or you heard someone told you that he said something about you. And maybe it's not even true, subhanAllah. And shaitan breaks that relationship and your deeds are not being raised. Right, subhanAllah. For that's one of the greatest things to do, is to try to get that out of the way. Forgive others, you know, connect with those relatives and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, خذ العفو, take al-afu, pardon. Like, it's as if it's something that you take. This is something you take. Al-afu is something you take. You know, when people talk about forgiveness, yeah, they see it as, I'm giving up something. I'm on the weaker end of it, you know? Allah talks about al-afu, pardoning people, as it's something that you're gaining. He says, خذ العفو. It's something you take. خذ العفو. Subhanallah. And so when we look at afu and pardoning people in that way, and subhanAllah, we have a hadith. Some said it's da'if, some said it's hasan, yeah? That on the day of judgment, right? On the day of judgment, imagine, when all the people are there, okay? An angel will call out, أَيْنَ الْعَافُونَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Where are those people who used to pardon others? أَيْنَ الْعَافُونَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And so the people who used to pardon, it was a habit from the pardon, they will all stand. And so now the angel will say to them, enter Jannah without any hisab. Enter Jannah without any questioning. You people will enter Jannah without any questioning. And it makes sense, because the nas makes sense, because Allah told us that when you forgive, Allah forgives you. When you forgive, Allah forgives you. Like the hadith of the person who used to lend people money and he used to pardon them when they couldn't pay it off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, will ask him, what good deeds do you have? And he says, I don't have much, except that I used to pardon people who had debts. And Allah says, I am more merciful than you, so enter Jannah. Subhanallah. And so pardoning is one of the greatest things that we can do. And the last thing, and I'll finish with this, is dua, right? Preparing our du'as. You know, the month of Ramadan, one of the unique things is the Quran. But one of the unique things when you read the ayat in the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about dua, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni qareeb. Yeah, أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان. It's the month of دعاء. And so because it's the month of دعاء, we don't want to go in, like some people, you hear stories, people go to Hajj, and they go in the month of Arafah, and they're bored. They don't know what to do. Arafah, the greatest, like really the greatest day, the day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hosting, like these are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the people of Arafah. And some people come and sleep. Why? Because they went there unprepared. And then you have people making dua and crying, and there's so many things, subhanAllah. How shaitan tricks people. And so sometimes people come to Ramadan and they don't make dua, they don't take advantage. And so one of the best things, at least prepare five or six or seven du'as, you know, that really will, from the dunya and akhirah, that will bring you closer, will make you a better person. And write them down and memorize them and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. And remember that if a du'a falls on one of the, on Laylatul Qadr, it will be accepted 100%. And so if a person, imagine a person makes du'a in the last 10 nights, every day, for sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that du'a. And so many stories we heard about that. SubhanAllah. So in conclusion, what are the things that we can do? So we can be practical about this. Number one, fast. Make sure you do your obligations before the sunan. Fast, get yourself ready. Get acquainted with the Quran. Start reading the Quran slowly, slowly. Don't start with two juz' tonight. يعني, if you're not used to, you haven't read in months. Start with a page, 5 pages, 7 pages, 10 pages, and so on. Right? Read the Quran. Try to do some qiyam. We said start with a witr. Just at least one witr. Now, before you sleep, make sure you pray your witr. If you didn't pray your witr, pray your witr. Do it for a week. Try to do it then before Fajr. Okay? Number four is forgiveness. Make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forgive others. Right? And I would say forgive others first and then make tawbah, and inshallah the tawbah will be accepted. And the last thing is make dua. Prepare your du'as, and inshallah bi'idhnillah, we will have the best Ramadan in our lives. And that's an intention. None of us here has the excuse to leave without making that intention. Wallahi, يعني, mahroom, the person who reaches Ramadan without making that intention. Right? Nobody here has the excuse to leave, right, and go to sleep tonight without having made that intention at least. Right? Wallahu ta'alam, يعني, that's all I wanted to say. And we'll open the floor for questions, inshallah. Questions about Ramadan. طبعاً Sheikh Ali, inshallah, I think next week we'll be having a session on, not next week, next week or the week after, on you know, the fiqh of fasting, questions about fasting. Also tomorrow, inshallah, in Fairview, we have our fiqh of fasting lectures starting tomorrow, inshallah, in Fairview at 6:30, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So you're welcome to attend those, inshallah. Questions? Naam, I saw a hand. Sisters, naam, tfaddal, Sheikh. Naam? So, can you fast Fridays in Sha'ban? Naam, no problem. Adi, yeah, naam. It's okay to fast, naam. So, he's asking the question about the traveler, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a concession, a rukhsa, for the musafir, right? For the musafir, okay, because it's difficult, right? So it's a rukhsa. This is a debate between some of the ulama. Is it better to try to fast, or is it the sunnah, is it actually the sunnah to fast, or is it the sunnah to not fast, right? And there's a long discussion about it. Like, and what makes sense is that you have a rukhsa, it's okay to use it. Yani there's no blame for a person who uses it, right? But if a person is doing like a short travel, I don't know, like he's flying from here to Edmonton on a half an hour plane, and he just fast, you know, subhanAllah. Because it's better to gain that fast in Ramadan if there's no difficulty. But sometimes there's difficulty. Like I remember once, when I was in Riyadh. طبعاً from Riyadh to Mecca is how long? It's like, you know, 1,000 kilometers or something, right? It's like going to Vancouver or something like that, or Kelowna, somewhere there. I was going with these shabab, you know, these my friends from Toronto, and we were going. It was Ramadan, and so they wanted to go do Umrah. So I said, shabab, like, you know, it's a long trip. You know, we're going to be very tired. We're driving. It's hot. You know, let's just, right. And so the leader of the trip said, no, let's fast. We're fasting, and he was the driver of the car. So we said, khalas, let's fast. And it was one of the most difficult fasts. Yeah, and we reached, and they wanted to do Umrah. And the problem is, those of you who have done Umrah know, Umrah is, it takes effort, right? And literally we reached and we're doing, tawaf and sa'i, and I'm about to fall on the floor. I'm just waiting for, right? The adhan came like when I'm doing sa'i, right? And the guy who was giving out the tea and coffee, I just took the whole thing. SubhanAllah. It was very difficult. And I said to myself, SubhanAllah, يعني, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want us to go through that difficulty. We shouldn't have fasted. If someone knows it's going to be a difficult travel, then don't fast. You have the rukhsa, and you're not blamed for that, right? And you're getting, بإذن الله, you're not blamed for that. It's not like you have less iman or that. No, it's fine. Take the concession. But if it's like a short travel, you know, like someone is going to driving Red Deer, خلاص, يعني, just fast. It's like an hour and a half or something. Right? Good question. نعم. Sisters. عندكم سؤال هل عندكم تفضلي نعم نعم اها if so what's your question so if you forgive that does it count as forgiveness جميل the sister is asking When it comes to afu, forgiveness, pardoning, right? Do you have to go to the person and be like, Abdullah, I all this time I didn't talk to you, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have, blah, blah. Or can you just do it in your heart? طبعاً, this goes back to, what is it? What's the relationship with that person, right? There's some people that if you told them, مثلاً, it might get worse. So I would say step one is to forgive in your heart. Step one is to forgive that person in your heart. That cousin that, spread those rumors about me, I forgive him. Oh Allah, bear witness, I forgive him. This is something you sit down and do it by yourself. I forgive that person. Oh Allah, I forgive that person. And now the second step, I would say the second level, okay, of ihsan now here is to call up that person. Because he's still cut off. If you've intentionally cut him off, they still cut off, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, wait until they reconcile. So you have reconciled halfway. You still should call that person and reconcile with them. And okay, you might say, well, he might say, no, I don't want to talk to you. Khalas, you've done your job. You now, your a'mal will be raised bi'idhnillah ta'ala. When it comes to you, you've done your due diligence. That person is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And that's why, صلت الرحم. Let's talk about صلت الرحم for a second. صلت الرحم. The ulama they say صلت الرحم أن توصل من قطعك. صلت الرحم, right? Connecting with the kins, the relatives. It's not about tit for tat. Like he calls me, I call him. He doesn't call me, I don't call him. Some people this is their aqidah when it comes to dealing with people. But that's not what صلت الرحم is. صلت الرحم is connecting those who cut you off. Someone cut you off, you try to connect. طب شيخ, they don't call me back. طيب, انت call them back, that's it. You try, that's it. And you're getting great reward for that. Don't forget that you're getting great reward for that. So yes, you should try to call that person up, reconcile with them. If it's something bad you did up against them and they don't know about it, then you could, do a sadaqa for them or make dua for them. يعني, Allah, maybe that's a different topic. But yeah, you should try to reconcile with that person. Wallahu a'lam. You should. You should try your best. What their reaction is not your responsibility. ما عليك إلا بلاغ. Just like da'wah. Your responsibility is to what? Is to give the message, right? If they accept or not, that's their responsibility. It's a good question. Now, any other questions? So everybody's ready for Shaban started. Yeah. The race started, subhanAllah. Okay? But this is the time, inshallah. Try your best, inshallah, to do that. Try your best, and inshallah, this will be the best Ramadan. Tawadda. No, you don't have to fast. The Prophet, it was from his hat. He's asking, do you have to fast every month, every day of Shaban? No. That's not what the hadith says that the Prophet would fast after Ramadan. Shaban is the month he would fast the most. Okay? And so he'd fast most of it, right? Aisha said like all of it, meaning like most of it, pretty much most of it, right? Like sometimes she said we would watch him fast and we don't know if he's ever going to break his fast, right? So yeah, you try to fast as much as you can. And like I said, I would say you focus, if you say I can't do all of it, focus Monday, Thursday, because that's, you're getting, that's the time where the actions are raised. And the ayyam al-bid, right? The middle days of the month, right? And so on. And you try your best, يعني. Try to fast a few days. And لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. نعم. Any other questions? تفضل. So أيام البيض, Monday, Thursday. Yeah, and the rest is, يعني, yeah, free for all. سلام. Any other sunnahs I'm forgetting? تفضل. There's a popular view that what? That he fasted the first 15? Allah alam, I've never read any narrations relating to that. He said there's an opinion that the Prophet ﷺ would fast the first 15 and then rest in the other 15. Allah alam, I'm not sure about the narration. But this hadith is very clear. Like she said, most of it or all of it, right? So is half most in the English language? I would say half, most of it is more than half. Wallahu a'lam. I don't know if there's any adilla. Naam, sisters, brothers, khalas, everyone ready for the race? Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khair, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.